Psalm 19 is one of my favorite places to go when I'm talking to someone who is discouraged, or that they are looking for answers in all the wrong places. And so we tend to go over this and a couple of the other psalms. Is David, good to see you, Sandra, safely here. Okay, we're just beginning. The first of the psalm, of course, is talking about the heavens declaring the wondrous, majestic God that we serve, and how it proclaims his majesty and the knowledge of him that you can even gain from his works that he has made. And then in verse 7 and forward, it talks about the law of the Lord, the word of God. And we're going to read that. Pat, would you start our reading, please? Psalm 19, 7, and we will read down through 13, please. Or let's just stop at 12 for a moment. 7 through 12.
The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, in keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors, a quickening of his faults?
Okay, really through 11 is what we're going to discuss first, okay? And so on your sheet, I said that we would be discussing the blessings derived from studying and trusting in God's Word. In verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. It is the highest degree of accuracy and right. It's something that is that you can count on. And it does what it is supposed to do. God has a purpose in it. God gave it for a reason. And it accomplishes, if the heart that we talked about in Matthew 5, with that humble, contrite, seeking righteousness, seeking truth, if he will listen to the word of God, what does it say in verse 7? Because the law is perfect. What is the blessing that comes from that? What's it do? It
restores the soul.
Right. Restores the soul. Let's start with that, okay? Restores the soul. Converting, that's good. New King James Version and another version says converting the soul. It converts the soul from a lost, hopeless, sometimes even grief-stricken. You know, Psalm 119 talks about reviving, you know, a person who is discouraged or downtrodden. So the law of the Lord, it converts, and it takes and comforts. Okay? And it gives one hope that has been lost, whether it's in sin or in struggles that they're having. You go to the Word of God, it is the perfect, it is the highest degree of wisdom. And so it will help you, it will restore if we allow it to. And as Pat said then, the next thing is the Lord is sure. It's right. You can depend on it. It will not fail. What does it do? Because it's the highest degree of wisdom. It won't fail. What does it do? It makes wise the simple. You want to have wisdom? You know Proverbs, the 3rd chapter and following? Wisdom is crying in the street. God gives us wisdom. We want to know how to deal with the problems in our life. We want to know the choices that we're going to make. Do we want to know how to defeat Satan in our lives? The wise person, as Jesus said about, is looking to His Word and doing what He says. It'll make wise the simple. The simple is not somebody stupid. It's somebody who is looking for wisdom, looking for help, that is naive, that is, in need of guidance. So it makes wise the simple. Okay? Verse 8. The precepts of the Lord are right. I believe that this is talking about just, fair. God's word doesn't give preference to one person and not another person. He's the same with all. His word is the same. His blessings are the same for the righteous, and His wrath is the same for the wicked. And they're just. They're right. And what's the blessing in knowing that God sees, God knows, His word is just, and His judgments are just? What's that going? What's the blessing out of that? That we can do what?
Rejoice.
We can rejoice. So we look at God's word, and He tells us that we're messing up. We see by reading something, and we're messing up. Are we going to be mad at God, discouraged from reading this, and stomp off with an attitude? Or are we going to rejoice that, hey, you know what? This is right, and I need to be wiser than what I've been, and so I can rejoice because His word is fair and His judgments are just, and therefore I can be happy if I'm following His word. I don't have to be afraid that God's not going to see, God's not going to be fair, that God, even with all His mercy, He's going to look at me with that kind of fairness and justice. Margaret, rejoices the heart, makes glad. Okay, the next thing, the commandment of the Lord is pure. Okay, what is it? Because it's pure, because it's spiritually and morally right. And it's without when God says something that He wants us to do, it's not going to lead us into wickedness, okay? It's not going to tell us something that is not right, not good for us, okay? So when we see God's word in that light, what's the blessing that comes from, knowing that? What does it do for those who look at it? What's the blessing? What does verse 8b say? The commandment of the Lord is pure. What does it do? It enlightens the eyes. What does that mean? What do you think that means, Elizabeth? What do you think?
I think it means that when you're diligently studying, it's
The understanding. It gives us true knowledge. It gives us understanding. We study, we seek truth, and it gives us understanding. It shows us the right path, the light unto my feet that we can look at. It leads us to be more like God for the reader who takes it and rejoices in it, is dedicated to it. Remember, we talked about a person who meditates on it. He will be spiritually blessed because it will enlighten his eyes. Did anyone else have something down there that might help us to appreciate? Okay. The fear of the Lord is clean. What do you think that means? The fear of the Lord is clean. What does that say to you? Anyone?
No imperfection.
Right. And, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I think it's still talking about the Word of God. I don't think it jumps to our fearing the Lord. I think it's the Word of God that gives us that, because it gives us a proper reverence toward God. I think it's one for the other type of idiom there, is free from evil. It gives us proper view of God. It gives us proper respect and reverence for God. And that kind of reverence towards God and that kind of trust in God will lead us to, because our reverence in that kind of word, that kind of law endures forever. It will not pass. It will not fail. And so the law of the Lord that gives us the reverence that we have toward God, we don't have to be afraid because it will never fail and it endures forever. If someone has, you know, another view, another understanding, you know, but in truth, I do not think that it jumps to our fear. You know, it's what causes our proper reverence for the Lord. Any questions? The next thing says the judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. Okay, they are true. They're righteous. They're right. They're truth. They're fair. They're just. Anyone have anything about that? They're spiritually and morally true without any kind of deceit. The world's wisdom is really caught up in a lot of deceit. Whether they intend and have malice with that, but it's still full of deceit and error. The law of the Lord's not like that. The world wants to believe that it has error. They want to believe that it doesn't apply anymore, especially to them and to their situation. And even people who claim Christ is their king will sometimes get to a place in their lives that say, well, the Lord just doesn't understand how it is. Or the Lord just doesn't, know what I'm going through. Well, he does. And he's got the right answer. It's just we sometimes do not want to listen. Okay, and then it follows down. It says they are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, and much fine gold. That's attitude. Remember we were talking about meditating day and night, you know, and loving and hating wrong and those kind of things? Because this is the attitude that we have towards the law of the Lord. This is the kind of attitude we should have. Sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. We sang a song concerning that. And when we sing that, the Lord is listening. We're supposed to be praising God and praising His Word. And what are our hearts really? When we sing that, are our hearts really into it? Do our hearts and minds really mean it? You know, if we really mean that this is how they are to us, does that behoove us to treasure them and to try our best to study, understand, and obey. And then it says, moreover, by them thy servant is, and this is a great blessing. You know, we sometimes don't look at it as a blessing, but being warned by God before judgment day is a great blessing. We can read and we can see if we're in error, and we can change it. But then, my view, if you have another view of the next couple of verses, please speak up. We're here to explore the Word of God, to study it together. Verse 12, 13, and 14, I believe, is a prayer. And he says, you know, in keeping them there is great reward. He ends that in verse 11. You're warned by that, and in keeping those the law of the Lord, there is great reward. Okay? Not only blessing in this life, blessing eternally. So, who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Sometimes we sin out of pure ignorance. Sometimes we don't know. Who can do that? Who sees? God does. Who can acquit me of hidden faults? God can. We pray. We ask Him for forgiveness. And if our heart is there, if we're trying to serve Him, Jesus' blood is going to cleanse that. He's going to forgive us. So, and then he says, he prays, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Man, we all fall into this. You know, I do. We know better. Our conscience sort of pricks, but we do it anyway. It's presumptuous sins. Pride gets in the way, or something else gets in the way, and our mouth flies open and we say something, you know, and we know better. If we'd had, you know, if we had another minute, we wouldn't have said it, you know, but we did anyway. So, he says, then I'll be blameless. Because he says, not let them rule over me. Help me, God, to get rid of these things in my life. How are we going to get rid of these things in our life? The law of the Lord. So, then he says another, this part of his prayer. He's praying, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. See where his trust is. See where his thought is. Where his prayer and devotion is. My Lord, my rock, my redeemer. And so, the law of the Lord, with proper attitude towards God, with knowing that he is the one who sees and forgives, and the one to whom we trust, that I shall be blameless. Any thoughts on this? Or if you have another thought, you know, like I say, we're here to learn. Blameless doesn't mean without sin. It means complete or justified, that we talked about in Christ. Verse 11 again, the bottom, in keeping them there is great reward. Okay, any thoughts before we leave Psalm 19? Proverbs 1. We're not going to spend very much time here, but wanted to cover it. We have looked at this briefly in other times. Proverbs 1, 30 through 33. We looked at this when we were talking about the difference between one who meditates and who is devoted to the law of the Lord. And in 30-33, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would not accept my counsel, they spurned all my reproof, so they shall eat the fruit of their own way, they shall be satiated with their own devices, for the waywardness of the naive shall kill them. And the complacency of fools shall destroy them. Verse 33. He who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. When evil days comes, they'll be like the woman of Proverbs 31. She'll have no fear. She has clothed her family with the right clothing, with the Word of God, with wisdom. And so we will not have to dread evil. Okay, Proverbs 1, 30-33. What is the end of those who do not listen to the counsel or heed his reproof?
There's consequences in the
answer. That's right. They're going to. The God of heaven says they are going to reap what they sow. And a lot of times, as we see of people in the world, and even some of our loved ones that are in the world or who make bad choices, it's in this life. They will reap the fruit of their deeds, not only in this life, but in judgment. Their way will kill them, and their complacency will destroy them. You know why complacency will destroy them? Because they turn off their conscience. They have put aside so long the Word of God in their thinking and in the fear of the Lord in their thinking that they've become complacent, and it doesn't bother them anymore.
But even those that repent, they will still have to go through consequences of what they said.
Absolutely. You murder somebody, you still have the consequence, although you repent. You have illicit sex. Sometimes you have disease or you have pregnancy. You can repent of that, but you have the consequence of it. You're right. You say angry words. You ask for forgiveness. You can't take them back. They hurt. They wound. And you do things that causes a person to not trust the same way they did. It takes a while to build it back. It's not automatic. And so we need to be conscious of what we say, what we do, and teach our children that there is consequence. Our country is suffering from lack of teaching consequence. And and the ones who do, as you said, who do, they will live, who listen to God, they'll live securely and be at ease. Let's turn to Proverbs 3 quickly, and let's read verse 19. And, of course, there at the end of 18 there in chapter 3, talks about that tree, you know, and they're happy who hold fast of her. But then in chapter 3, verses 19 down to 26, 19 is talking about the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. And then 21, the writer is saying, my son, do not let depart from them, which is the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord. Okay, depart from your sight. They will be life to your soul, adornment to your neck. And verse 23, you will walk in the way securely. Your feet will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Ever have sin hurting your conscience? Or something that you know that you need to take care of, that you hadn't taken care of spiritually? I don't know about you, but if I've gone to bed without correcting that, I don't sleep very well. David didn't in his song. I mean, his conscience was really bothering him to the point that he was physically ill. So, it's the truth. I mean, time and time again, we see that. For the Lord, 26, will be your confidence, and you will keep your foot from getting caught. And down the end verse there, I had it marked. Okay. He is intimate with the upright, but for the wicked man, it is an abomination to the Lord. That's verse 32. So, judgment, consequence, blessing. We need to choose. Okay, in Psalm 119, we're going to quickly go over these. In past times, we have studied Psalm 119. I hope that this is one of the scriptures in the Bible that you take time to read often. It really is a good encouragement passage. It is one that helps us to put things in perspective. And it talks about the testimonies of the Lord. It talks about that and how they can affect our everyday life and our attitudes and our prayers that we should have and that kind of thing. In verse 119, verses 1 through 3, who is made blessed or spiritually prosperous? Sandra, you want to read 1 through 3, please, at verse 119.
Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways.
Okay. So, who are the blessed there, or spiritually prosperous? Those who
walk in the ways of the Lord.
Walk in the ways of the Lord. Doesn't mean they're never going to sin. That's not what that means, that they do no unrighteousness. It means that their trust and their aim is to serve the Lord rightly, and their attitude towards him will seek their repentance so they can get back online. And so, who walk in the ways of the Lord, make it their way of life. Okay? So, verse 11, let's read that together. Anna, would you read verse 11?
Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you.
Again, you know, the same attitude, right, Anna? Okay, you treasure this, and your way will be enlightened. And you won't be looking to go against God's word. We're going to sin, but that's not our aim and view and purpose. Okay? Except when we do presumptuous sins, and then we really need to repent. Okay. What's the attitude, verse 11, 40, and we've just read 11, 40 through 43. Melissa, can you read verses 40 through 43? 119.
Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word.
And 43.
And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hope in your ordinances.
Okay, so what's their attitude towards this?
The people who have studied or know God's word and keep studying it to know it more, and know they're waiting for His ordinance. They're
mm-hmm.
I don't know how I'm saying that.
They hope in it.
Right.
They
can count on it.
They can count on it. Absolutely. And it is, and sometimes we read it and we do what it says, and even the other kind of wait patiently for it to work in our lives, to do what it means, you know, what it says it's going to do. Sometimes we get a little impatient with God, you know, hurry up, God, you know, I prayed for this, and you said, you know, that these things are right. And so, but it's their attitude towards it. Number one, they treasure it. They long for it. They want to know. They look diligently into it. Something comes up. They said, let me see what God says about this. Instead of, well, what do you think? What do they think? This is what I did before. See what God's word says. And long for that kind of light that we can go by. They trust in it. Verse 1:14 says, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I wait for thy word." Okay, it's their shield against evil and against wandering away. And they trust, they wait, they hope in. Verse 1:14 says also. 104 and 105 says, "From thy precepts I get understanding." Therefore, now here is another attitude. I hate every false way. Okay? "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." What is this attitude? What does this say? A lamp to my feet, a light to my path. I get understanding. I hate every false way. What does that mean to you?
Goes back to verse 11 about how you treasure it in your heart. You're going to, if you treasure something, you're going to hold it close. And so it's supposed to keep you from going, you know, to the right or the left, mm-hmm. going straight.
Don't you find as you grow spiritually and learn discernment by studying and understanding God's word, that some of the things that were a little grayish, wrong, right, you know, being wrong in your younger days, are now, you see so clearly, whether it's dress, going to the beach, dancing, some of these things that, you know, that as you study, as you understand, as you make right judgments because you want to be right, you want to follow God and be more like Christ and more like holiness that He wants us to have, that we look at things in a different light. We see that being places, not doing wrong, but being in places that might suggest, you know, or encourage that you make a different judgment. That you begin to hate. I hate some sins out there. And I don't want any people that I know to be involved with that. It's the devil. It's wrong. I hate it. And Christians need not be ashamed to say, that's sin, that's wrong, I hate it. We have to hate it so badly that stay away from it. Don't get close to it. Don't think about it. And love enough a person who's about ready to get burned by it enough to warn them. But we need to learn to hate wrong. Any comments about that? We'll finish with 113b. 113b says, you see, I hate those who are double-minded. That's unstable in faith. And trying to undermine or trying to live on both sides of the fence. This hate here doesn't mean that you feel ill will towards them. You hate their action. Okay? But I love thy law. Love versus hate. You can't be double-minded. You can't walk on both sides of the fence. And so you love thy law. And if we read this, if we say it in our heart, my question is, will God judge our sincerity of heart on judgment by my life as proof of just what I say out loud or to myself? You see, you know, God is going to judge my words and my thoughts. And so the sincerity of it. We need to ever be prayerful like the psalmist that we will stand justified and let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable. And so we need to ever be mindful of that. Treasure God's word and let it be a blessing to us in our lives. And we will close for that. And Lord willing, next Wednesday we'll pick up and it will... I have no more material. It will be our last Wednesday if the Lord lets us live. And hope to see all of you there. And we'll finish up our study together. Being blessed. Spiritually blessed. Any comments? Okay.